made cloths of service to do service in the holy place, in the tabernacle, which was this temporary shelter for God, temporary meeting place between man and God. Only Aaron, the high priest, was allowed in the tabernacle. And he must have all this dress that was so designed by God for him to wear for the children of Israel to make in order to clothe. He had to have all that on. You remember reading about the bells on the hem of his garment and the pomegranates and all that. Well, to do service in the holy place and made holy garments for Aaron as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he made an ephod of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet and fine linen. And they did beat the gold into thin plates and cut it into wires to work it in the blue and the purple and in the scarlet and in the fine linen with cunning work. Now this wire of gold, the gold in about every place in the Bible has reference to deity. Deity. The wire of gold was woven into all the other material. The fine linen, the gold, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, and the fine linen. And they did beat the gold into thin plates and cut it into wires to work it into the blue and in the purple and in the scarlet and in the fine linen with cunning work. That is, now the wire of gold was woven into all these materials so as to be inseparable, connected, inseparably connected with, and yet perfectly distinct from them all. That is, it speaks here of the union of God and man in one person. The gold was to be interwoven into the cloth, into the material, the purple, the scarlet, and the blue, as a thin wire. And it was so distinctly interwoven in this that it was not distinct. That is, it was not noticeably, it didn't noticeably stand out where you just seen the gold, but it all blended in to one material. That gold is deity. And that's the reason why we say, preach so much about finding out who God is. Finding out who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We find out who God is in Christ. And we find out that the Lord Jesus Christ is God and man in one person. And I talk about that a whole lot. Repeat myself over and over and over about the importance of us seeing and understanding, finding out who God is. That He's all God and He's all man in one person. And that's what this reflects here. This gold interwoven in this other material. And it so becomes one that you can't distinctly see one from another. It's all in one piece. And this was made into this garment, this wonderful, glorious, beautiful garment that clothed Aaron and was essential for him in that he is a type of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this wire of God and man in one person. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples and says that a storm, a great storm arose, began to thunder and lightning, and the waters got very rough, and the disciples were afraid. And our Lord Jesus Christ, as a man and God, show forth the manhood of God in Christ. He was asleep on a pillow. Perfect man, sleeping on a pillow. A man. But they began to cry for help, and he instantly took upon himself all the dignity of God himself and spoke to the waves, to the storm, and said, "Cease!" He calmed the storm. In one aspect of him, he was all man, sleeping on a pillow, as other. Then, in an instant, he was God and calmed the storm. At the grave of Lazarus, his friend, he cried, he wept. He wept real tears from a real man. In another instance, though, he spake, and cried, "Lazarus, come forth." And the grave and death opened their doors and came forth. And Lazarus, as a man, responded to the cry and the voice of God and man in one person. That's our Savior. That's our high priest. Whoever lives on God's right hand to represent us. He represents us always, at all times, under all circumstances. His eye is fixed on us in Christ, our great high priest. Now, here in 29th chapter. Go back there again. The 28th chapter. Rather, chapter 28. In that second verse, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and beauty, establishing who the high priest was, Aaron thy brother, and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Thou shalt take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. Make him this robe." And it goes on and says that it talks about the two shoulder pieces joined at two edges thereof. It talks about the curious girdle, embroidered girdle, gold, blue, purple, scarlet, fine twine linen. And it says, "And shall make two onyx stones, and grave on them the name these names of the rest on the other stone according to their work. In verse 21, it says, "And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel according to 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, each one with his own name. Shall they be according to the 12 tribes?" And it says that after he puts these garments on, Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. Now their names shall be set in settings of stone, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the fourth row, a pearl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their inclusion, and the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of the signet. Each one with his name shall be according to the tribe, the 12 tribes. In other words, on this garment, this curious girdle of the Hebrew, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, 10 sons, 10 tribes, and the names shall be written on this breastplate in these various stones, these various precious stones. And when the high priest goes before the Lord, he has them on his breast, representing the children of Israel. And these stones glitter and shine. And the more light that's brought upon the stones, the brighter they shine. They glitter and shine. And they are to be worn by the high priest when he goes into the tabernacle to represent the children of Israel. They shall always be there. The more light shines upon them, the brighter they get. Well, I said this Aaronic priesthood was God's provision for a people who were in themselves far off from God. That's a picture and a type of you and I. We have always, from the time we came into this world, we have always needed someone to represent us before God. We were born in sin, trespassed fulfillment of the shadow. The shadow is just a substance, nothing to it. But when he came, the Lord Jesus Christ, he became a man. And as a man and God, he provides for us all the requirements of God in himself. And in this clothing that Aaron wears depicts what Christ has done and what he's doing in our behalf. It says also, verse 29, that Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel. And when I say Aaron shall bear, I could rightly say that the Lord Jesus Christ shall bear in his heart all of those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel. In the breastplate of judgment, Christ is our judgment. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No judgment is what that condemnation means. So there's no judgment in the heart of Christ for the people of God. He paid their judgment. Breastplate of judgment for his own heart. And when he goeth into the holy place, that is, into the place where God dwelt, in the holies of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And he goes on down in verse 30, the latter part of it, says, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Again, I say that the Lord Jesus Christ bears the judgment of his people upon his heart before the Lord continually. And then he goes on in verse 33 here, it said, and beneath upon the hem of this particular garment that we've been talking about, beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell, a pomegranate, a golden bell, and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth into the holy place before the Lord. And when he cometh out, that he died not. That is, when he went in to the holy place, into the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was, the dwelling place of God, he went in there to work, to do service to God in the being the representative of his people. And he put the bells on the hem of his garment so that he couldn't sit down. There was no seat, no chairs in there, for he must continually do service by way of worship on the behalf of his people. And if he ever stopped, if the bells quit ringing and jingling while he was walking around, they knew that he was dead. And when he cometh out, that he die not. He's got to continue to move around. And thou shalt make plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Thou shalt put it upon a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. That is, the thing went around his head, and there was a kind of a piece that stuck out here, and holiness to the Lord was written upon it. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead. Who is, you remember now, the type of the Lord Jesus Christ? We have a great high priest. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in their holy gifts. Remember, what's on his head now is holiness to the Lord. And it shall always be upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Their only reason for being accepted by God is because of the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, with the holiness of the high priest Aaron, which he is just a type of our great high priest. And it says that he shall bear this upon his forehead continually, that the people that he represents may be accepted before God. Well, let's go on now. We've talked about these robes that Aaron was to wear, a special priestly robe with 12 tribes engraven on precious stones. They were to be worn upon his shoulder and upon his breastplate. I've mentioned to you about the excellence of stones is seen in the more intense the light is brought upon the stones, the more brightly these stones did shine. Now, in this we could say that light can never make a precious stone look dim. It makes it shine brighter and brighter. And these were part of Aaron's priestly robe, of which he was always to wear. He had them upon his breast and upon his shoulders. And these stones represented the 10 tribes of Israel, which we are represented in them, in that we are the true Israel. Now, they represented the smallest of the tribes and the largest of the tribes. These 12 tribes were represented before God by Aaron the high priest. Now, whatever may be their weakness, whatever may be their failings, those that Aaron represented, yet their names glittered on the breastplate of Aaron with unfading brilliance. Regardless of their weakness and their failures, yet these stones shine in pure brilliance, in spite of their failures and their flaws. So it is with the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who represents us. We are these stones. And regardless of our weakness and our wanderings and our failures, these stones glitter and shine with luster brightly before God in God's presence, in Christ, who is our great high priest and who represents us. You see, it was God who put them there. God, it was God's idea, according to all that he gave to Moses on the mountain to do. It was God who put them there, and if God put them there, who can take them away? It was God that put us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Who can overrule God? Who can snatch our names away when God put them in Christ? Who could penetrate into this holy place, into this tabernacle that Moses erected for God's dwelling place, and take one of them live in this world who are tried and tempted and sometimes awful failures as far as living up to the standard set before us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is encouraging to me. Though I wander, though I'm tried, though I'm tempted, for me to remember that God only sees me in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as He sees me, as these stones represent you and I, they continually shine in brilliance in the presence of God Almighty. And as we are put in Christ, and Christ who represents us, and whoever lives to make intercession for us, we can truly say that God sees us in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I know that the world cannot see you and I like this, but God sees us like this, and this is what makes the difference. It's not how the world sees us. Now, as the world looks at you and I for the most part, they're not They're blind, but they're not fooled. When they look at us, that is the people of God, they see our blemishes and they see our spots. They don't have any ability to see otherwise. They can't see any farther than what they see in us. And as a consequence, their judgment is always wrong. They can't see these sparkling jewels that's in Aaron's breastplate and on his shoulder and the mitre that's on his head that says holiness. They can't see that. They can't see it, but we can see it only in Christ. And God sees us in Christ. Our safety is in Christ and Christ alone. Our safety is not in our doing or our good intentions or our bad intentions or our habits or this or that. Our safety is that we are in Jesus Christ. We are the stones on the breastplate. We are the holiness on the mitre of Aaron. Holiness unto the Lord. Nothing shall change that. We have this word of encouragement, truth. It's absolutely, I believe, absolutely true. Though we're like that before God, but men don't see us like that. And because they don't see us like that, then we ought to be very careful not to furnish men of this world with any just occasion to speak badly of us. We should, I believe, seek by patient continuance in well-doing to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And we ought to live like we're represented before God and shine brilliant. We ought not to be lacking in service to God. We ought to be men of honesty and goodwill. We ought to seek to love other men ought to be particular in our conduct and our behavior before them. And I think if we understand at least a little bit of how we are viewed by God in Christ, that would be enough to make us want to live in such a manner that God would be glorified in us. Well, I think that the more we see of what we are in Christ, our high priest, that he bears our judgment, and in his heart, in his soul, in his body, in his flesh, he bears our judgment in his heart before God continually. The more we see of this and understand of this, the better people we'll be, the more useful we'll be. But we got to see what we are in him. And that's what I'm trying to show us here this morning. What we are in him. Not what we are in ourselves, but what we are in him. If we see what we are in him, we'll see a little more difference in our lives, in our behavior, in our conduct, if we really see what we are in him and believe that's what we are in him. Well, I know this morning that I'm a sinner. I know that in nature, by birth, in nature, by practice. I'm a sinner in myself, but before him, I'm just totally the opposite. Before him, I'm holiness. Before him, I'm like them sparkling emeralds and diamonds that shine. That's the way I am before him. If I see what I am before him, it'll cause a difference in my behavior and my conduct here. It'll be an encouragement to me because I know I'm safe in here. I can't sink as long as I'm in him. I can't die and suffer as long as I'm in him. It's all over with. I know we have shortcomings and all that. We fall. We're careless. We ought not to be. Well, then he said, make that plate of pure gold and grave with that tool, holiness to the Lord. And it shall be on your head, he said, be on Aaron's head, always, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Well, what encouragement this is, what rest this affords his people, that our high priest is always in the presence of God for us, always there. He takes no vacation. He's there day and night, always before the Lord, that we might be accepted. Now, if we understand that, if we can see that, if we quit looking at ourselves and quit trying to standardize ourselves in conduct and behavior that conforms to our thinking and start realizing what we really are before God. We're accepted. God has accepted us in the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And you put that on your forehead, and it shall be there forever that we might be accepted by him. Isn't that what he said? It says when he goes into the holy place with the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, he'll do that forever. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And it says, it shall be upon Aaron's forehead that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall always, it shall be always upon his forehead that they, the people of Israel, whom the stones depict, that they may be accepted before the Lord. That's you and I, that we might be accepted, presented by, accepted by, in him, his holiness is ours. Oh, brethren, this soul-sustaining truth in these words, it shall always be on his forehead that they may be accepted. In his forehead. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Always accepted. We are the